of a Black New Testament, and that's our gift to you, from our church to you. I tell people that, and they always think I'm joking. I'm not joking. That's our gift to you. You can have it, all right? If you don't have a Bible at home, you can take that one, and we encourage you to do so. Matthew chapter 15, and Matthew will be the book across the top. Just look for the name across the top. It'll be Matthew, and then 15 is the big number, all right? Matthew chapter and 15. And this is a series that we started back last December, and we started working our way through the book of Matthew. Our teaching and preaching habit here at First Baptist is next chapter, next verse. And so we come to the next chapter now, Matthew chapter 15. And hopefully by now you found your place, and if you have, and if you're able, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word? Matthew chapter 15. And let's stand as we read the word of God together. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start reading in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to read verse number 1. You'll remember last week Jesus sent his disciples on the boat. They set across the sea. The storm came up upon them, and they got scared. Jesus comes to them walking on the water. What a wonderful lesson that was about the storms that we face in life, but about how that the Lord, the Savior, comes to us in our greatest point of need. And now they've arrived on the other side. And when they arrived on the other side, you'll see the very end of chapter number 14. Man, multitudes were coming to him. Everybody's coming to him. Everybody's getting healed. He's healing the lame, the blind, the halt, right? And Jesus is really expending himself at this point in ministry, but it's not just the lame, the halt, the blind that are coming to him. Look at verse number 15, verse number 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Okay, time out. But this is a great tradition. You should always wash your hands before you eat. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. You should always wash your hands before you shake hands with the pastor, too. It's another good tradition to put in place. I see you wiping your mouth, coughing in your hand, and then you come and you shake my hand. It does stuff to me. Okay, verse 3. But he answered and he said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites." That is not a compliment. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. It is not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. And then came his disciples unto him and said, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended?" Yes, of course they were. "Well, you made them upset." And Jesus is like, "And? What's your point? Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying. And he answered and he said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth. Man, he said, it's not what goes in your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth. Man, those things which proceed out of your mouth, they come forth from the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands, man, that defileth not a man. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would use your word this morning in our hearts and in our lives. Father, teach us great and wonderful truths out of your word. Make plain the instruction from Jesus to the Pharisees and to the disciples. Make it plain to us this morning so that we might know the way in which we are to live, so that we might know the way we ought to obey you. And in your son's name we pray, and all the church said, amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated.
The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. By your perfect sacrifice, I've been brought near. Your enemy, you've made your friend. Pouring out the riches of your glorious grace, your mercy and your kindness know no end. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you.
Amen. Almost every time in the Bible when you see the word defile, the word means pollution. It's our understanding of what we would understand as the word pollution. As the word is being used here, the Pharisees have come to Jesus and they're convinced that Jesus has polluted, that he has defiled the tradition of the elders. And in one way, I suppose he probably has. But in another way, they have defiled or polluted the commandment of God. And what you see is you see this really stark contrast. The Pharisees are dead set that their tradition is being defiled. Jesus is messing up their tradition. And Jesus is dead set on the fact that the Pharisees have defiled the commandments. They want to talk about tradition. Jesus wants to talk about commandments. They want to talk about the way it was. Jesus wants to talk about what God expects. And that's really kind of the contrast that you see here. And in particular, it revolves around these clean laws or these sanitary laws, okay? So Jesus is simply not arguing that, you know, you should not wash your hands before you eat. That's not the discussion. It was clear that you should wash your hands before you eat. The discussion is what makes someone right in the eyes of God, what makes someone clean in God's eyes, and what makes someone dirty in God's eyes. So to help you understand this, right? I got a couple pictures for you this morning. That's what this table is here for, right? This is a picture that would represent how the Pharisees understood cleanliness. As this picture here has some water inside of there. I got a cup down here. This picture has some water inside of here. But this picture, man, on the outside, this picture, I mean, it is clean. There's no dirt on the outside of this. There's no filth on the outside of this. There's no stains on the outside of this. This has never even been used. I drove to Target last night at 10:30 in the morning to get this illustration, or 10:30 at night to get this illustration, right? Me and the boys making a Target run all for the sake of this illustration, right? This has been cleaned out and ready to go. This is a clean picture on the outside. But I promise you, you do not want to drink what's in here. I mean, it is filthy. I think there's some dirt, there's some grass, there's some planting soil. I'm certain there's some weeds from my flower bed in here. Weeds from my flower bed in here. There's some paint in here. Amanda like took her paint can and she poured it all down here. She shook it up really good. I promise you, whatever this concoction is, you do not want to drink it. But what the Pharisees' understanding of cleanliness was this, that as long as it's clean on the outside, then it's okay. Man, then it's okay. Look, as long as it looks good on the outside, then it's okay. As long as I have my Sunday best on,
And as long as I got my smile, and as long as I shake enough hands, and as long as I have my religiousness, and as long as I have my good deeds, and as long as I have my church attendance, and as long as I do these good works, then it doesn't matter what's on the inside. All that matters is what's on the outside. But how many of you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And this is really the debate here. They're saying, no, on the outside, we have all these rules, we have all these traditions, we have all these regulations, and it keeps us clean on the outside. And Jesus is saying, right, but that's the problem. It keeps you clean on the outside, but it doesn't touch the inside. And it's out of the heart of the man where the man is defiled. Man, I can tell you this. I'm not even going to think about pouring this drink into this mason jar because, man, I can't even hardly stand the smell of this morning. Man, but it's clean. Anybody want to drink out of this nice clean cup this morning? Right? No, everybody's going to say no. Man, no way we're drinking that. Man, but there's another way to understand it too. Man, there's another way to understand cleanliness, and that is this. Man, this one, man, it's filthy. Man, this one's got paint on. Amanda took some spray paint. She got a nice layer of wet spray paint on the outside. And then she had the boys take it and roll it in the garden. So that's what's all the dirt and the fertilizer and whatever else is on the outside of this. But man, the inside of this, man, the outside, look at that, man. It's filthy. It's dirty. But man, the inside, man, the inside's good. That's a nice cup of water. That's a good drink of water. That's some nice Long Beach water right there. Pulled it right out of the port. No, just easy. Man, the water's clean. Man, the outside's dirty. The outside's dirty. Who would want that, man? We're going to want this. The outside's clean. And this is what the Pharisees were saying. All that matters is the external. All that matters is the outward part. What makes a man clean, what makes a man unclean, it's the outward part. I mean, that's what's so offensive about next week's sermon. What's so offensive about next week's sermon is Jesus goes to this Syrophoenician woman whose daughter is demon-possessed. Man, she was from the wrong side of town. She was of the wrong ethnicity. She had the wrong kind of raising of her kids. She had all kinds of problems. And Jesus goes to her, and Jesus says about this woman, man, no one in Israel has the kind of faith that this woman had. Man, why? Because the disciples, they can only see the outside, but Jesus can see the inside. Jesus can see the inside. Man, I can tell you this, you don't want to drink out of this one, even though it's clean on the outside. Man, it's disgusting. It's filthy on the inside. Man, this one, it's filthy and disgusting on the outside. But I can tell you, man, that's good water on the inside. At least I hope so. Man, but what about that one? Man, now this one, man, it's clean. It's clean on the outside. Man, it's clean on the inside. Man, the outward and the inward, man, they line up. Man, this is what Jesus says. Man, Jesus says, man, you profess me with your lips, which is not wrong, but your heart, man, your heart is so far from me. Man, there are other people who, man, their heart's close to Jesus, but whoa, man, their life is wrecked by sin. Man, the filth, the dirt, man, if you saw this, you wouldn't drink from it either. Oh, but man, then there's this whose heart and whose lips, whose heart and whose habits, whose lips and their life, man, they match up. I'm just going to carry around a mason jar for the rest of the sermon because it's cool. Man, which one are you this morning? Man, which one are you this morning? Man, just external, 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 external. Man, it's just all this outward stuff. That's going to get me right with God. Man, it doesn't matter what the outward looks like. It doesn't matter. I can do what I want, when I want, where I want. Man, the commandments of God, the commandments of God, and none effect in my life. Man, no authority given to God's word. Man, or is it your lips and your life? Man, they match up. Man, what you profess on Sunday morning sitting in church is what you will live on Monday morning when you go into the office. Man, this is what Jesus is arguing for in this passage. This is what Jesus is arguing for in this passage. Three ideas. Number one, notice how sin operates. Notice how sin operates. I mean, the disciples come to him, or rather the Pharisees and the scribes, they come to Jesus, and they travel all the way from Jerusalem. So Jesus has had interaction with the scribes and the Pharisees up to this point, but they've all been local schools, right? It's been local congregations. This congregation, man, they travel from 75 miles away, and they come all this way to interact with Jesus. And how many of you know, they're not really asking Jesus a question. They're giving an accusation. How many of you ever got questions like that? It's not really a question. This is an accusation. Verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Man, in what way did they transgress the tradition? Man, they transgressed the tradition because they did not wash their hands before they ate bread. Man, this is an understanding of from the Old Testament of how sin affects us. Man, sin defiles us. Sin makes us dirty. Sin makes us defiled. Sin brings about decay. This is one of the reasons, one of the pictures given to us in the Old Testament, why God asked his people not to touch anything that was dead, not to touch anything that was decaying. Amen. Not to touch those things. Why? Because this is the ramification that sin has on you, that it will kill you, it will destroy you, it will cause you to be decayed. That the way dirt, it makes you filthy and decayed and covered. The way dirt affects the body, man, that's the way sin affects the soul. Man, the way dirt and mud and filth and decay and dead things, the way they affect the body. Man, that's the way that sin affects the soul. And so Jesus, or God in the Old Testament says, listen, my people, don't touch anything dead, anything decay, anything that way. Why? Because that's a picture of sin. Man, they didn't want them touching any of those things. God didn't want them touching any of those things. Why? Because it was an illustration of the way that sin that sin decays, that sin diseases us, that sin affects us. Man, this is an understanding of the way sin operates. The way sin operates. How does sin operate? It decays, it defiles, it diseases us. Right? A couple ideas there. Sin isolates us. Sin infects us. Man, you ever been around somebody who's coughing everywhere, right? And they're not covering their mouth? My son Ethan, he's developed this habit when he sneezes. How many of you have been around really polite sneezers? You're not like a really polite sneezer. Ethan is the most impolite sneezer you've ever been around. His sneeze is like, you could just watch like particles and germs and mucus and I think some of his brain like just go everywhere. Yeah. And I'm like, is that necessary? He's like, it's my sneeze. I can't help it. And I see it. When I see it happen, he's like, huh, everybody, back up. Everybody, it's going to blow. It's going to blow. Man, sin. Man, the way disease and the way death and the way dirt. Man, the way they infect us, the way they isolate us. Man, that's the way sin does to our hearts. Man, it infects us. Man, it isolates us. Man, sin leaves you on an island. Man, sin infects you. Man, people start pushing away. Why? Because you're hurting them. Because in that sense, you are contaminated. Man, sin isolates, sin affects. Number three there, though, the Pharisees instituted. Man, the Pharisees came along and they said, listen, sin isolates, sin affects. So what we think would be a good idea is in order to not be infected and in order to not be isolated, like let's institute all these laws so that when we come into contact one with another or when we come into contact with something, it doesn't make us dirty, it doesn't make us infected, it doesn't make us unclean. Man, so this is what they did. The priest had a law that anytime they were to go into the tabernacle of God, the priest had to make sure that they were clean. Man, clean clothes from the interior to the exterior. Man, clean hands, clean feet, clean hair, clean face. I mean, all these ways that the priest had to make sure that they were clean before they would go into the temple. Man, and the Pharisees came along and they said, listen, if it's important for the priest to be clean when they go into the temple, man, it's important for all of us to be clean too. So now all of us, we have to do the same thing that the priest does. Man, then they didn't stop there. Man, they said, not only does the priest have to do it, that's what God required, but all of us, we should do it too. God didn't say that, but they instituted that law. Man, all of us have to do it, but not just that. Man, if it's important for the priest to be clean when he goes into the temple, it's important for us to be clean when we pray. Man, all of a sudden they started adding all these rules, all these obstacles, all these traditions to what the commandment was. What was the commandment? The priest must be clean when he comes into the temple. And all of a sudden the Pharisees added all these rules, all these traditions, all these regulations as a way to enforce that law. Man, so let's just get as clean as we can on the outside. And if we can make sure that you pray before you, you know, or that you clean your hands before you pray, if we can make sure you clean your hands before you eat, and if you can make sure you clean your hands before you shake somebody else's hand, and then clean your hand after you shake their hand, and then clean your hand when you come into church, clean your hand when you leave the church, clean your hand on the way out, clean your hand on the way in. Man, if we can do that, then we can make sure that we keep ourselves clean. And they added, and they added, and they added, and they added, not to what God had said. Man, God didn't say that. And what's interesting here is that they even say, man, why do your disciples, why don't you do what our tradition says? Man, they can't even come to God. They can't even come to Jesus and say, why don't your disciples do what God says? That's what they say. They say, why don't your disciples keep our tradition? Why do you do it different than what we say you have to do? I mean, the only way to be clean in the Pharisees' eyes was to keep all the laws that the Pharisees themselves instituted. Man, sin, how does sin operate? Man, sin operates in a way that it isolates us. Sin operates in a way that it affects us. Man, but before long, the Pharisees are exalting their tradition and they're minimizing God's word. Man, before long, the Pharisees, man, they're preaching tradition. Man, but they have forgotten the word of God. Look at the strong rebuke. And Jesus says, man, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God? Man, look at the contrast. You, your disciples, you transgress our tradition. The way we do it, the way we want it, the way we say it should be. You transgress our tradition. Jesus says, yeah, but you transgress God's commandment. And then he gives them an example. Right, look at the example. That's verse number 4. Verse number 5. For God commanded. See how verse 4 starts? For God commanded. Look how verse 5 starts. But ye say. Okay, so this is what God said. God said, honor your father and your mother. And if you don't, and I love the phrase. Look at verse 4. And he that curses father and mother, let him die. What's it say? The death. Like, it's not enough to just die. You got to die the death, you know? What is the death? I don't know, but you don't want to experience it. That is bad, right? Because it's not just dying. Think about that next time you disobey your parents. Old Testament, disobey your parents, die the death. I want to make sure my kids are paying attention on that point. But Jesus says, you've You've transgressed the commandment of God. How so? Ye say, verse 5, ye say, whosoever shall say to his father, mother, it is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, man, then this guy's free. I mean, look at what he says. Thus have ye made the commandment of God none affecting your heart. So here's what they said. A way of honoring your father and mother traditionally in the Old Testament was that you provided for them in their time of need. So when they got to a certain age, they couldn't work, they couldn't care for themselves, that you, as their son or daughter, you cared for them. By the way, that's the way God intends for it to be. I'm raising my kids to be millionaires so that way they take care of me. Not really. Man, we take care of them. Man, I'm thankful for my mom and dad taking care of me. Man, one day the time will come where I'm supposed to take care of them. Okay, we'll move past that point. But the Pharisee says, listen, if you take your money and if you give it as a gift, well, then you don't have to take care of your mom and dad because you've given this as a gift to God. And if you've given this as a gift to God, you've dedicated it to God. Man, this is dedicated to God. I'm sorry, mom. Sorry, dad. In what way can I profit you? Because I've taken what was supposed to be yours and I've used it for God. Jesus says, no. You've made the word of God none effect in your life. You see, instead of obeying the commandment of God, you tried to find a way around the commandment of God. Instead of honoring God's word, you wanted to honor your own tradition. Instead of making a big deal about the commandments, you made a big deal about your tradition. Thus have you transgressed the word of God. And thus you've broken God's word. Man, how sin operates. Number two, what sin obliterates. What sin obliterates. They elevated their own word over God's word. Man, whenever traditions replace obedience, God's word is emptied. Listen, church, whenever traditions replace obedience, God's word is emptied. This is what he says here. Ye have made the commandment of God of none effect. That's the whole idea of none effect is it's literally powerless. Like you put your key in your car and you turn it and it just goes. Like there's no juice, there's no battery, there's no power. Whenever tradition replaces obedience, the word of God is emptied of its power in our lives. So two ideas about what sin obliterated. Number one, man, their sin in exalting their tradition over God's word, their sin, it nullified the authority of the word of God. It nullified the authority. You've made the word of God powerless in your life. That's what he's saying. You've made the word of God powerless in your life. You've emptied it of its power. Why? Man, because they were taking this self-centered, self-righteous, self-serving approach to God's word. Man, God's word became more about them and their tradition and less about what God expected from them in their lives. Hey, you should write this down. Traditions are not commandments. Traditions are not commandments. Now, if we're not careful here, we will wrongly assume that traditions are a bad thing. Jesus is not saying traditions are a bad thing. But Jesus is saying that the tradition of the elders is not the same as the commandment of God. Hear me, church. Traditions are not a bad thing, but Jesus is saying traditions are not commandments. Man, traditions can be a good thing. Man, traditions can hold us together. Traditions can bind cultures. Traditions can even help cross cultural boundaries. I'll never forget Amanda's Christmas tradition and my Christmas tradition on the first year that we were married. Man, Amanda's Christmas tradition, it had to be a real tree. My Christmas tradition, I'll be happy with no tree. Because if you put the tree up, you have to take the tree down. So why even put it up if you're just going to take it down? It doesn't make any sense. No, man, Amanda's tradition. We got to go to this, you know, corner market, and we gotta pick out a tree, and I'm walking around. They all look the same. They all smell the same. They all take the same amount of work. Man, why are we even doing this? Let's just buy each other eggnog, go home, and be happy. Man, real tradition, real tree, has to be a real tree. Man, my tradition, let's just get a fake tree or no tree at all. Man, guess who won? Amanda won. Man, but over 17 years of marriage, I broke her down. Now, we get a fake tree. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But I think she really won in the end because she literally puts a tree in every room of the house. This is the truth. She has like 4 Christmas trees. Who needs that many trees? No, they're fake. They're not even real. I'll put them all up, man. This is why I had children, to do all the stuff that I don't want to do anymore, right? Thank the Lord, they're old enough now. I say, boys, go help your mother. Honor your mother. This is the commandment of God. Man, traditions can be good. Traditions can be good. Tradition can bring us together. Tradition. But listen, Jesus is not saying, oh, throw out tradition. Jesus is not saying, hey, just, you know, touch whatever you want and then eat it. No, that Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is saying tradition is not commandment. That's what he's saying. You've elevated tradition. And when you elevated tradition, it nullified the authority of God's word. But see what he's doing is he's helping us understand that God's word is not like any other word. God's book is not like any other book. I mean, the Bible is not another book that you can just take what you want, leave what you want, accept what you want, leave what you want, reject what you don't want. No. Jesus is saying, no, this is the word of God. This is the authoritative word from the creator of the universe about how your life and about how my life is supposed to go. This is the authoritative word of God from the creator of the universe about how life is supposed to happen. And you're elevating your tradition and you're putting tradition on the same level as the commandment of God. And just quite frankly, it's not the same. It's not the same. That's what he's saying. Man, it's the authoritative word of God. Hey, let me add a word, just a word of help for us as a church. Man, where the pastor and the preacher, man, where they preach the word of God, amen and amen ought to be coming from the crowd. And there are times that when we preach the word of God, we draw lines of application. Man, God's word says this. Here's a line of application. This is what it looks like in your life. Hey, but listen, lines of application are not the same thing as commandments. Lines of application are not the same thing as commandment. Man, if you mess up the meaning of God's word, you'll mess up the application of God's word. So not every application that any preacher or every pastor has ever said is right, including this one. Now, I know you don't want to believe that. I know that you openly reject that. I'm sure some of you are about to stand up and even tell me, Pastor, you're always right. But let me just stop you before you do that. Were you going to do that? No? Okay. Hey, listen, if we mess up the meaning, we mess up the application. And it's true that there are applications made, but application made does not equal commandment from God. It's the same thing here. Man, commandments are not tradition. Man, we don't elevate a man's word. We elevate God's word. Man, we don't gather together today to hear what I have to say. We gather together today to hear what God has to say. Man, and the Word of God, man, is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. God's Word is the authoritative Word that all of us need for our lives. And you will never have the kind of power to live a full, fruitful, godly life until you choose God's Word as your authority. You will not have the power to live a full and fruitful and godly life until you choose to accept God's Word as the authority in your life. Man, the authority for your relationships, the authority for your money, the authority for your living, the authority for your friendships, the authority for your sexuality, the authority of it all. Man, God's Word is the authority. Yeah, but I heard a guy say one time, no, God's Word is the authority. Yeah, but one time, one place, one guy. No, God's Word is the authority. Man, traditions, they're not always bad. But traditions are not commandments. Man, when they elevated tradition over obedience, man, what'd they do? They nullified the authority of God. Number two, they falsified the authentic worship of God. They nullified the authority of God's Word, but they falsified the authentic worship of God. Jesus says, verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you. I mean, he says, This was told of you a long time ago, that this people, verse 8, draweth nigh to me with their mouth, man, but their and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Man, do you see how they build on each other? Man, the individual who saturates his life with God's Word, man, that leads to God-glorifying worship. And the individual who has a self-centered life, man, that leads to self-worship. Man, the individual who lifts up God's Word. It's the commandment of God. They lift up God's Word. Man, that person, man, they worship. Man, they worship and glorify the living God of the universe. And the person who lifts up their own view, their own way, their own centeredness, their own idea, man, they end up worshiping themselves. Man, they end up exalting themselves. Why don't your disciples, see, you hear the implication, you hear the accusation. Why don't your disciples do what we say they have to do? And Jesus says, you want to talk about tradition, I want to talk about commandment. You want to talk about what you say, I want to talk about what God and His Word says. Man, so that you are saying one thing with your lips, but you're doing something else in your heart. Hey, listen, all of us are old enough and wise enough. Oh, just because you're in church doesn't mean you had church. Man, just because the Bible was opened, it doesn't mean that it opened you. Man, just because the Word was preached, man, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Word will be lived. Man, James warns us about this. Let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't sing and we don't play and we don't preach and we don't pray. Oh, man, and then when God's Spirit by His Word speaks to our heart, we turn it off. Man, it's possible to be in the room listening to the Word, man, but be at the beach in our heart. Man, it's possible to be in that seat right now, but it is quite possible to be on your couch flipping through NFL Today right now, right? Oh, man, it's possible. It's possible to hear, but not hear. Man, it's possible to see, but not really see. Man, be careful that you don't deceive yourself just because you heard the word. Because if you haven't done the word, then you have not heard the word also. Man, a falsified worship of God. Number three, last one, where sin originates. Is it basically what Jesus ends on, verse 10 to verse 20. I want to take them all in one big jump. Where sin originates. I love verse 12. I put a star by verse 12 in my Bible because it makes me laugh every time I read it. Man, didn't you know that you offended them at what you said? Oh, that's funny. I thought it was funny. You don't have to laugh. It's okay. Man, then his disciples came. Verse 13, but he answered. Listen to the charge. Man, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, it shall be rooted up. That's a charge against the Pharisees. What he's saying to the Pharisees is, listen, your life on the outside may be clean. You might not have touched any dead thing your whole life. Your life might be clean on the outside, but your heart is filthy on the inside, and God will reject the filthiness of your heart. That's what he's saying. God will reject the filthiness of your heart, and the plant that does not belong in the garden, God will root it up and he will cast it out. He says, you are blind leaders leading blind followers. And when blind lead blind, it never works out good. That's what he's saying. They're both going to end up in a ditch. Why? Because the heart is far from me. This is a shot to the heart of every person here this morning. I get it, you're in church. But is God in your heart? I understand you own a Bible, but is the Bible in your heart? I understand we can bow our heads and pray together. But do you have a relationship with God in your heart? I'm not asking you about your religiousness. I'm asking you about your relationship with God. I'm not asking about how many good things you did and how few bad things you did last week. I'm asking you, is Jesus the Redeemer of your heart? Have you placed your faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone by grace through faith, not of works, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast? And have you placed your faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone, not in your outwardness? And not in your outwardness. Hey man, there's some here this morning. Man, the outward part of your life, it's filthy. And what you keep telling yourself is, well, listen, Pastor, I'll come to Jesus. I'll have a relationship with God as soon as I clean some of this up. I mean, we don't want any of this stuff showing. I mean, what would people in the church think if they see all this? I got to get it all off here. I got to clean it up, man. Listen, you can come to Jesus as you are. Jesus accepts you as you are. Just as I am. You can come just like you are. Man, you can come to Jesus just like you are. But understand this, when you come to Jesus, he won't leave you the way you were. Man, understand, you can come to Jesus just as you are, but when you come to Jesus, he won't leave you the way you were. Man, when God looks at you, he sees his son through you. Man, clean on the outside. Man, clean on the inside. Man, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, but now we've been made his workmanship, through Christ Jesus moving toward good works. Man, so that way our life and our lips, they match. Man, that way what's going on in our heart and what's going on with our hands, it matches. Man, this is the great lesson of this chapter right here. You don't need cleaner hands. You need a changed heart. You don't need cleaner hands. You need a changed heart. Because it's out of the heart that all these evil things come. Here we say, Pastor, I don't know how this happened to me. And I don't know what happened. I wonder what went wrong. She left me. He left me. We had this problem. We had this fight. We did this. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I took it. I saw the cash. I just thought maybe nobody was looking. I didn't think my boss was there. I thought it'd be okay. I mean, they owe me anyway. I don't know how I got here, Pastor. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I don't know how this happened. Man, I know exactly how it happened. And Jesus tells us exactly how it happened. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed. And there's the list. Man, out of the heart proceeds. What comes out of the heart? Evil thoughts. Murder. Adultery. Fornication. Theft. Lying. And even blasphemy. Guess where it came from? Your heart. This is the great ill of all mankind. The heart is corrupted. There's not enough good doing. There's not enough good works. There's not enough cleaning up and covering that we can do. The heart is corrupted. It's what's on the inside that's defiled us. It's not cleaner hands. It's a changed heart. Okay, Pastor, I want my heart changed. How do I get my heart changed? Simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to His mercies that He saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Man, He takes our filth and He washes it. He covers it in His blood. And He makes us clean, pure, holy, right. Man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, Pastor, that I've done that. I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a separation between my heart and my hands. There's a separation between my lips, what I say, and what I'm actually doing with my life. Man, there's a disconnect between my Sunday and my Monday. Man, could it be? Could it be that you've taken away the authority of God's Word? Man, elevating your own idea, elevating your own opinion, elevating your own way, elevating your own. Well, this is how I see it. I just don't think anything is wrong with that. Well, that's just not how I see it. Hey, listen, commandment of God, commandment of God. When we replace obedience with tradition, man, we take God's word. We make it empty and void. We make it powerless. Man, it could be, yeah, you're saved, but it could be you are not elevating God's word in your heart and in your life. Are you doing the word? That's my question to you. Are you doing the word also? I'm not asking you if you believe it. I believe you believe it. I'm asking you, are you obeying it? When it relates to your money, when it relates to your job, when it relates to raising your kids, when it relates to your finances, when it relates to your relationships, when it relates to him or her, when it relates to that person at the office, when it relates to your neighbor, are you doing the word? Are you doing the word? Are you giving the authority to God's word? Well, that's just not how I see it. Now you're making the word of God an effect in your life. I don't know what it is. I mean, I go to church. I do all that. It just doesn't work for me. I just must not be one of those church people. Man, it might just be you're disobeying God's word. Man, we made the word of God of none effect. Changed heart. Changed heart. Last one. We're done. Last one. Man, there's a coming judgment. That's what this verse is. Man, there's a time when the gardener, when he walks through the garden and any plant that doesn't belong there, he roots it up and he throws it in the fire. Man, there's a coming judgment. There's a time where blind leading the blind, where they end up in a ditch. Man, there's a coming judgment. Man, there's a coming judgment. Man, one day, and one day soon, all of us will stand before God. Man, one day and one day soon, all of us will stand before God. Man, the writers of the Bible, they said they were living in the last days. Man, if they were in the last days, we're in the last seconds. Man, Jesus could come back today. Jesus could come back today. But whether he comes back today or whether he comes back 100 years from now, hey, one day you will stand before God. Whether it's by him coming back and taking us away, or whether it's through death, it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, listen, the judgment. After this, the judgment. And when you stand in front of God, do you know what you will be held responsible for? Did you do what was in God's word to do? I know how many times in my life I came up short. I know how many times in my life I've made the word of God of none effect. I don't know how many times in my life I've elevated my own opinion over the authority of God's word. Man, but praise be to God, he sent his son to die in our place. Man, but praise be to God, Jesus left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died an atoning death on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he resurrected from the dead, from the grave, beating death, hell, and the grave once and for all. My friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask for you to make the word of God powerful in our lives. Make it authoritative. Make it real. Make it tangible. Cause it to change us, to mold us, to make us better husbands, better dads, better employees, better bosses, better neighbors, better church members. God, may the word of God shape us into who you want us to be.